Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. I just mentioned the Cougs game on Saturday night. You know, they don't hit overs, and they've had a rough start of it. The toughest schedule so far played this year. What teams have played the toughest schedules? UCLA is number one. Alabama is number two. Houston is number three.
Wow.
Toughest schedules in America.
Houston number three?
Number three. Florida State, Oklahoma, USC, South Carolina, and Stanford. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can all just slow down, everybody.
Slow down on okay. What?
Well, criticisms, okay?
Well, you do have to score.
And they did.
Yeah.
They scored some points.
Not for a couple games, but then they did, and it wasn't as much. But this is, Willie Fritz's, there was not a very good recruiting class he walked into. Like, Willie Fritz is going to have to, it's going to take him a couple years. It's just, they don't have the dogs to run with everyone else right now in the Big 12. They knew that going in, I think. And it didn't stop you from commenting on games. It still doesn't, stop you from being disappointed with certain results. But realistically, hopefully, Dr. Couture and more importantly, the money people at U of H and Tillman and everyone understands that this is not an overnight thing. It's not an overnight situation with Houston. This has to be a sustainable build-out. It can't be done with portal guys. It's going to have to be done with recruiting and developing players. And that's what Willie Fritz is good at. That's how he's done it in the past. He's taken very average programs and turned them into pretty good ones. And so, yeah, I think we got a break right here. Josh Pate's already on hold. So,
no, Josh Pate, we already did. We already did.
Oh, is that the official break?
We combined.
Oh, okay. Let me just say this. Willie Fritz, not that Josh isn't going to want to talk about University of Houston, but there's always college programs that require, some of them can require some portal stuff. U of H is a grow your own program, and that's what they're going to have to be in. That kind of stuff does not happen overnight.
Yep. Well, let's see if Josh Pate wants to talk about the University of Houston. He's joining us once again. It's Josh Pate from CBS Sports every week talking college football. What's going on, Josh?
I mean, somehow I woke up in New York City this morning. I don't even remember getting here. But, I mean, why not? When one comes to Lower Manhattan, why not talk University of Houston football?
Well, I mean, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. Lower Manhattan, University of Houston football, it's all the same. Hey, they have had Heisman Trophy winner with Andre Ware, and that happens in Manhattan. So there I am. I pulled it together. It happened about 36 years ago or 35 years ago, but 34 years ago, but still it happened. Just keep that
Are
going.
People doubting him? Is that what I'm reading?
Andre Ware or Willie Fritz?
Oh, Willie Fritz. No, Andre's pretty secure.
No, I don't think people are doubting. You know, it's just the nature of college football fans to get pissed off if their teams aren't good. But understanding, how certain teams, like if you're Florida State, you're pissed. I get it, and you shouldn't have this kind of fall off. If you're University of Houston, it's a different situation. It's we got to reset and grow this thing up from the ground again. And that's, it's a completely different situation. But all college fans want their teams to be good right now anyway. That's just the nature of fandom.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Obviously, if you look at it logically, there's a little bit different carve-out for Willie. Even the baton that Kalen DeBoer took at Alabama in the handoff, it's not beyond the pale to think they may be a little shaky in his year one. Norvell is the total opposite end of the spectrum in year five or whatever he's in. That is off the grid of explainability to me. All the data points throughout history, all the comparatives I could do, that's off the grid. The one that's in between the two concepts is Hugh Freeze at Auburn. They're in the third year. They cannot win a game to save their lives right now against anyone in the Power Four, at least. And, I mean, find every way possible to lose games. The team, there's nothing really overly special about them. You try and tell yourself, well, he'll get this thing fixed when he gets it built. And that's okay. I don't have a problem buying into that. Year three, for that to still be the message, though, it's a little tough to square.
We got Josh Pate with us, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and Bobcat of Houston every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we were discussing the Texas and Georgia game, and maybe Texas. Here's the deal. Texas was number one in the country. What marquee win do they have? Who have they faced so far that you would say that they're the best team in the country? I know they look great on paper, Josh, but so far they hadn't been tested until Saturday, and that test, they failed that test.
Yeah, and I was one who had no problem if someone made that argument. My counter to it was I used the whole Usain Bolt middle school track and field reference, and we all know what that means. But for the few of us who don't know what that means, it's this thing I use every year to explain away the guy who runs around yelling, so-and-so hasn't played anybody. Because you can't just yell that at every team in the early portion of a college football season, or else you'll just drive yourself crazy. So if I took Usain Bolt and I put him in a middle school track and field event, he would smoke all the middle schoolers, obviously. You could either look at that one of two ways. You could say, that is one of the best athletes on the planet, regardless of who he just raced. Or, he hasn't raced anyone, so I know nothing about him. I looked at Texas, and I really thought, regardless of the quality of opponent, they were that good. I just believed that they were that good, and I believed it was a matter of time until they got the opportunity to show it, and the Georgia game was the opportunity, and they didn't show it. So I was wrong about Texas. And then the other side of that is Georgia scaled up. I mean, Georgia hit the gas for the first time defensively this year to that degree. Guys, they were, I don't know if you watched the week before, they were fresh off a game where Mississippi State hung 31 on them, and Van Buren, that quarterback there, and Mississippi State is its own conversation we should have, by the way, but that, like, they moved the ball through the air against Georgia, and the two facets that I couldn't trust with Georgia is they had given up chunk plays through the air defensively more so than they had at any point the last several years, and they could not consistently run the ball. And then they go in there and they run the ball well enough. They completely stone Texas on the ground. They harass Quinn Ewers and or Arch Manning all night. They expose Texas's offensive line like I didn't think they would be exposed. And the net result is they just controlled a game on the road in Austin. It's a circle game. It was supposed to be Texas's sort of coming out moment as a big-time national championship favorite. And now Texas gets to understand what it's like for everyone to write them off. And who knows, maybe it just put them in the most opportune position imaginable. I don't know what that game would look like if it happened again. And it may not happen again. But if it does, I'll tell you the one thing that stands out to me is Georgia had, by my memory, six scoring drives. Four of those six drives began in Texas territory. And another one started on the Georgia 45-yard line. So if you can find a way just to make them drive the length of the field alone, then that would be a great start. But on the other side, Beck turned the ball over again. Carson Beck's been very inconsistent all year. So it's not like Georgia's a team without warts. It's just that we confirm Texas also has big warts.
Let's be honest about this. I mean, Carson Wentz had no touchdown passes and three interceptions, and they won by 15 at Texas. That's a concern if you're Texas. But, you know, I also think when we're really honest about Georgia, you can look at it. You mentioned the Mississippi State thing, which is very, I mean, and look at the 74-yard touchdown to Ryan Williams to lose the game against Alabama. Let's also look at this. Okay, last year, we know what happened to Florida State in a bowl game where their guys stayed and decided to pummel Georgia. They wanted to just pummel Florida State, and that's what they did. Then they get to the beginning of this season. They beat Clemson. They kind of pulled away in the fourth quarter and looked like a comfortable win. That's the only loss Dabo and his team have. You went into Texas and won by 15, despite the fact that your quarterback didn't play all that well. and you came back from 28-0. It gets lost in all of this is the incredible comeback Georgia had. They would have won that game if not for a great play by Ryan Williams and a kind of a bungled coverage, I think, there at the end of that one. I mean, Georgia and Kirby Smart are still, when I look at it, I think it's still, Josh, I think it's a litmus test of truly where you are. But I also don't think it means that Texas can't compete at the highest level for a national championship. I really don't. I just think that Georgia's that team. Who is it? Alabama? No. Is it Oregon? I don't think so. I don't think any team gives you the type of challenges in a single game scenario that Kirby Smart and Georgia can give you.
I would agree with you. I also think maybe, just maybe, in a year like this, where if we don't have a truly elite team, people fall victim to comparing this year's, in this case, Georgia, to past year's teams. They used to do this. I remember they used to do this with Bama a lot in the last few years under Saban. They'd look at an Alabama team and, oh, they're giving up more explosive plays than they used to. They don't stop the run as well as they used to, this and that. This team wouldn't be nearly as good as the 2015 team. Well, they're not playing the 2015 version of themselves. They're playing whichever other team lines up across the ball from them. And similarly, that's the case with Georgia this year. So you just mentioned a really good point. You could either look at it as, wow, they went into Texas and they benefited from a lot of short fields, or you could say, well, they forced it because they forced turnovers. And by the way, Carson Beck didn't play worth anything, and they still found a way to win by double digits on the road. So what happens if he has himself a good game if they play again, or if they play Ohio State, or if they play Oregon? I agree with you that that's the number one program in America. Now, that doesn't change week to week. That stuff shouldn't move at the speed of water. It should move at the speed of honey in terms of opinion. So I agree with you. And look, it also may be that this day and age, you're kind of adopting more of an NFL mentality in that the team that's ultimately going to win it could be week six or week seven until they really hit that A-game gear.
Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you think of this LSU-A&M game on Saturday?
I think it comes down – this is not going to be groundbreaking analysis. I think it comes down to the quarterback position. And if it does, I trust LSU more. So, Wigman, I was there for the Missouri game a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I guess, when he looked as good as I've ever seen him look. And then he threw two or three picks last week, but he had four more interceptable balls that he threw. It could have been a disaster on the road at Mississippi State. And instead, they ended up getting the win, probably more narrow than people expected. But I'm telling you, that game could have been a lot worse than that. So be happy to have the win. You come home now. If you could just tell me you'll get consistent performance out of him, I'd pick A&M to win the game. But if you can't tell me that, and he's thrown multiple interceptions in several games, if you can't tell me that, I do trust Garrett Nussmeier. And unlike A&M, I don't think LSU has to run the ball effectively. I think A&M has to run the ball. I think LSU would like to. They did it well enough against Arkansas. I mean, surprisingly well enough. They outrushed Arkansas significantly, and I did not think that would happen. I trust LSU, and I think that defensive staff, whatever they're getting paid, you just go ahead and pay them more right now. Just get ahead of the curve. They are well above their skis in terms of what that defense should be achieving this year, and they are a really good pressure team now as well. They don't give up a ton on the ground. So it's a big challenge, and I don't think most of America even understands you got the teams tied for first atop the SEC playing this week, not last week. It's not Georgia and Texas. It's LSU and A&M. So I'm glad that one gets the primetime treatment. I'm really excited to watch that one.
And Josh,
you're not going to go?
I am going to be in Vegas Friday night for Boise UNLV, and then I'm going to be at Vandy for Texas Vandy Saturday. So I will disrespectfully fly right over College Station.
You know what's funny, though? Boise and UNLV is a sneaky fun game. It's a sneaky good game. But UNLV's known as the quarterback who just took off in the middle of the season, but now they got a passer in there, and they've got a great wide receiver. Really, really good wide receiver over there. Of course, Ashton Genty, to me, is I made this comparison like 4 weeks ago, and now it's really picked up steam just because I think statistically other people saw it. I just was watching. I'm like, dude, these are numbers like I was seeing with Barry Sanders, where you legitimately can't believe the numbers you're seeing. And Ashton Genty now, but he's way faster than Barry Sanders. So that's going to be a really fun one. By the way, before you speak on that, I just want to say there are two types of people in this world, those who see it with Nussmeier and those who don't see it with Nussmeier. I'm a guy who sees it with Nussmeier.
I agree with you. You know, when I'll go to these games sometimes, I mean, you know, there are a ton of NFL scouts at these bigger games, and you'll get a chance to talk to them on the field beforehand or in the press box or whatnot. And it seems like Garrett Nussmeier's name always comes up with those guys. You're not even at an LSU game, but eventually it comes up with those guys. And it's really funny because they kind of say the same thing you just said. It's that even within their community, sometimes they'll say, man, they're those of us who see it and those of us who don't see it. And inevitably, if someone's saying that, they are one of the people who see it. I agree with you, man. I still think because of him, LSU is one of the big wild card teams out there. Because you tell me, man, if he gets hot in November, if he just runs off a string of games in November and they're playing good enough defensively, you tell me LSU couldn't make a surprise run here. They got a good enough roster. They got a plenty good enough staff to do that.
Yeah. I think it'd be easier if Perkins were still there. But, yeah, I could – look, all you got to do is get in a tournament and you got a shot. You really do, because I do think there's a tier one, but I think it's a little more uneven than people think now. Well, like, I'm not sure on Will Howard. I'm not sure on Dylan Gabriel. The quarterbacks, Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck, are not playing all that well. And Alabama, I don't even know if they're going to be in the 12.
Listen, LSU's playing better defense without Harold Perkins. Guys are where they're supposed to be. Whit Weeks is a maniac, Honky Badger. The Honky Badger is amazing.
Honky Badger is such a great nickname.
He is incredible. So that LSU defense has changed since Harold Perkins went down, Josh.
I don't know how anyone would argue with that, and it flies in the face of conventional wisdom, because this is a guy who, you know, 2 years ago you're coming in and you're asking, could this be the defensive Heisman winner we've all been waiting for? And if you told those people who were writing those headlines that a year and a half later, the headline may secretly be LSU kind of better in the aggregate without Harold Perkins, it would blow their minds. And yet that's the case here. And I will again say, I'm not sure that's the case if you look at last year's team and last year's coaching staff. But the guys they have brought in have done a phenomenal job. And I don't know what kind of postseason awards they'll be up for, but they ought to be up for any one of them they qualify for.
Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Does Vanderbilt give Texas a hard time on Saturday?
Well, it comes down to basically the same thing it came down to with the Bama game. If you look at this as some get-right game, you're in trouble, because it is not simply a get-right game. And the other part of that is, I remember, because I was at A&M the Saturday that Bama went up to Vandy, and you check your phone, and you're checking to see if the game started, and there's 9 minutes to go in the first quarter, and it's 13-0 already, and they've put a drive on Bama, and then they've pick-sixed them. I mean, if they do that against Texas, I'm not sure. Look, I mean, any game could be a one-off game, but I'm not sure I would just trust them to bomb away and be a quick-strike offense. I think Vandy can make them earn it. I think Vandy can make them go on extended drives. Now, in Texas's case, they should be able to do that. If this game plays out the way it should, Texas should comfortably win this game. However, unlike most years, there is a world where if Texas goes in here and plays at a B-minus level, Vandy can clip them. And it's not normally the case. Normally you play B-minus against Vandy, and it just means you win 31-10 instead of 51-10. This one, yeah. I mean, I'm going to the game. So that's how careful I'm being and cautious I'm being about this. Because so help me, if I have to see them carry that goalpost out of there and I'm not there for a second time, I will never forgive myself.
There's some interest. Does Navy give Notre Dame a tough time?
Look, Navy is in the 90s in run defense. So my short answer is they shouldn't. I think Army matches up with Notre Dame a whole lot better than Navy does. But if Notre Dame messes around and let that game get into the 30s, where it's just kind of a back-and-forth affair, which Navy has done to teams this year, it is not out of the realm of possibility. I think Notre Dame has settled into this role as a top 10, top 15 team, and they have not been tested whatsoever after that A&M game. They have been banged up. They've lost a couple of very key guys that probably have created vulnerabilities on that team that haven't been exposed yet. So that one may be a dogfight as well. It's an early kickoff over there on the East Coast, so we'll know early, I guess. But I still think Army matches up better. But that doesn't mean Navy can't get it done. You're going to have to overcompensate for that run defense that you have, or lack thereof.
Penn State, Wisconsin.
So I've got my power numbers here, and that's just computerized. And I've got Wisconsin as a top 20 team right now.
Wisconsin is on the come up. There's no way you can look at them and not say that. They are playing a different brand of football than when they played Alabama.
And if I remember correctly, you have Penn State like eighth in yours, right?
Yeah, I got them a little bit lower than the AP has them. So I've got Wisconsin higher and Penn State lower. The funny thing about Wisconsin is if you haven't watched them but you just look at it on paper, they've started to look like older Wisconsin in that they're playing good defense and they're running the ball. Now, if you turn the game on, the way they're generating those rush numbers in a Phil Longo offense may be a little bit different than vintage Wisconsin, but they're still generating rushing numbers. I just wonder against, I think, right at a number 10 run defense in the country, I just wonder if that's going to be there. But they cannot put this game on Braden Locke's shoulders. I don't believe they can. I don't believe that he can be the key for them beating Penn State. So it has to be a very complimentary style. I'm pretty sure the entire Big Ten league office has their fingers crossed that Penn State can win this thing, so it sets up Ohio State-Penn State next week. I lean Penn State in the game, but I've watched far too many Penn State games come down to the wire to be comfortable about that. I will say this, though. If James Franklin loses that, we're kind of in election season right now. People talk about firewalls all the time. If James Franklin loses that game, that kind of ruins his Big Ten firewall. Because thus far, he's had that stat where outside of Michigan and Ohio State, I'm undefeated against everyone else. Well, if he loses this one, he can't say that anymore. So I think he'll win it, but it will have both of my eyeballs on it.
How is Indiana done with Rourke's thumb surgery?
I don't know that they are. They're still nearly a touchdown favorite. They'll get him back, apparently, unless that headline's changed. I think they get him back soon. Look, anytime a backup quarterback is playing, case in point, UNLV, under different circumstances. But it's funny what happens, especially in college football. When a guy goes down in the middle of the game, it can stun your team. But if you know your backup is going all week, it can do something to galvanize a team. And a defensive line plays at a little higher level because they know a secondary, special teams units play at a little bit higher level. Running backs run a little bit harder. And what you find is, even though you're quote-unquote weakened at the quarterback position, the collective level the rest of that team plays can be a tide that raises the boat instead of sinking the boat. And I wonder if that's what we'll see from Indiana this Saturday, because I'm not counting that team out, because that team's done. I mean, last week when I looked at that Nebraska score, I thought it was a typo. I didn't even think it was real. So you get game day in town, you get all that energy around them. I mean, if they lose the game, by the way, it's Indiana losing a football game. It's not the end of the world, but I still think they got a good shot to win the game.
Can they get a playoff with a loss?
I don't know. That, yeah. I think, whether it's fair or unfair, I think folks are waiting for them to lose a game. It's kind of like, you know, Herman Boone and Remember the Titans. You lose a game, they'll fire you. Well, with the Indianas of the world, because of your helmet, you cannot afford to lose a game. You will not get the same preferential treatment that a brand-name team will from the committee.
Nope. That's Josh Pate, College Football Show. Damaris and Bobcat of Houston, thank you for sponsoring Josh Pate every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh, great stuff. Two games, UNLV and then Vanderbilt. Wow, that is going to be a big day. That's a long day for you, but congratulations. Yeah. You're crazy picking up two games. You're like the Kirk Herbstreit now.
You're going to Las Vegas and Nash Vegas?
Yeah, and I'm doing it commercially, so you can call me Commercial Kirk.
Commercial Kirk. You're the Kirk Herbstreit of this show. We appreciate
it. Not for long, Josh. Give it about 2 years. You'll be flying. You'll be flying high.
Yeah.
Give it about 2 years.
Well, I'll drop the Lance coupon code with NetJets when that time comes.
Do that. Wheels up, baby. We'll do wheels up.
All right, Josh, man. We appreciate it as always. Thanks. That's Josh Pate. I just got confirmation. Tillman Fertitta will be joining us at 9:45 to kick off the pro basketball season tonight.
Nice.
At Toyota Center. So we got Tillman Fertitta at 9:45 with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now we got HRP. Lance is going, and he doesn't know Chris Fisher, who is one of the head honchos over at HR&P, has invited Lance to go to the Rockets game tonight. And he thinks it might be, Lance thinks it might be.
Might be a setup.
Like Tommy, he's going to get whacked. Well, yeah. I don't think that's the way HR&P goes about it. All right. They're going to deal with you and your problems at work. And they're going to do it in a professional manner. They know how to do it legally. So the EEOC doesn't hopefully get involved. I mean, you never know whenever you have to fire a person, but make sure that you're doing it right. Make sure that you're following all the rules. Make sure that you've got plenty of reasons. And HR&P is here for you to help you through all that, guide you through all of that. Because there's a lot of technical stuff that goes on with actually getting rid of a problem employee. So HR&P handles that for you. HR&P handles all the payroll for you. HR&P is great at that. You, my friends, benefit from what HR&P does every single day. We benefit from it. And we've had plenty of people who HR&P handle their business, who are their clients, who have come on here and given testimonials about what HR&P does for them. Let HR&P do it for you. Let them handle all of that payroll and HR stuff, because that's not your business. Your business is whatever your widgets are. Let HR&P handle the stuff that you don't know. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Cougs basketball team is going to be in action on Sunday against the Aggies, and we've given away tickets for that. Well, the Cougs football team is in action against the Utes of Utah. You heard John talking trash about Kyle Whittingham earlier. If you want to go see that game in person, now's your chance. Caller 5 right now to 713-780-3776. Wins a pair of tickets to watch the Cougs versus the Utes, and Zach Wilson's little brother will be playing quarterback for the Utes, so they're very hateable, if you know what I mean. Get ready for a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, and unforgettable moments. Nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd at a college football game. Tickets start at just $15. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Come early, be loud, and wear red, and pack that stadium for homecoming. Caller 5, 713-780-3776.
All right. I just wanted to go back and look at 2017. Maybe the Yankees, they scored 3 runs in 4 games here in Houston. But the Astros beat them the first 2 games 2-1, 2-1. Oh yeah, all those big hits off trash can banging.
Do you want to play Brian Cashman again so people know what you're talking about?
Well, Brian Cashman, we didn't get there in 15 years.
Well, here, we'll play. We'll
because
play
the Astros. They cheated us. Shut up.
We'll play what he actually said. Where was this, by the way? What was this?
This was Mad Dog.
It was Mad Dog, yeah.
I don't tell you what I haven't done in 15 years, but other than 70 years, in 15 years.
Like, okay, that's Mad Dog. It's clearly Mad Dog.
So I got a double dose because I played poker last night with
Oral
Hershiser.
What kind of player is he?
He was pretty good. He's not afraid. You know, we're playing a 5-5 table. Dude's probably got millions of dollars. I think he just likes to go and play, but he's playing at the same table with me. It ain't like he's playing in a high-stakes game, you know? So I don't think he has to. He's raising to $40 or $50. I mean, that's not like that. That's not big-time poker like he should be playing with his money. But, you know, I think he just goes to enjoy it. And a lot of people came up and were talking to him or whatnot. I left him alone except to say, I'm from Houston, and don't you wish you were playing us? And he was like, no, we got cheated. And I was like, oh, But the Dodgers, have an argument.
It's ingrained in all Dodgers and Yankees.
You don't have an argument. The Astros beat you twice in Dodger Stadium.
In a 7-game series, twice.
Twice.
2 of their 4 wins came at your place.
Yeah. And well, the 13-12 game, I mean,
that was insane.
Guess,
nobody could – no pitcher could get anyone out in that game.
No, nobody could. And they scored 2 runs and 5 runs in the other 2 games, the Astros did. So, I mean, Stop already.
I'm not
They
listening.
Beat you 7-6. They beat Kenley Jansen with Marwin Gonzalez in Dodger Stadium. They Charlie Morton just crushed you 5-1 against Yu Darvish in Dodger Stadium.
You don't have to sell us, John. We know.
Stop already.
You don't have to sell
Sick
us.
Sick of you.
And what about Brian Cashman? What about the cheating Yankees? Here was Brian Cashman was talking to Mad Dog on Mad Dog Radio Network or MLB, one of those shows. I don't know which one. And Brian Cashman, a general manager of a baseball team, actually still is has decided the Astros cheated him.
Give me your thoughts here. Finally getting back and winning a pennant after a 15-year. I don't want to say drought. That's not fair. But you understand what I'm saying with the gap. How about winning a pennant? How does that mean to you? Let me hear.
It means a lot. And I hate the 15-year thing because it doesn't it completely forgets and discounts that that some other organization cheated us when we were all the way in the end. You know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing. So. I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
Okay. Brian Cashman, you do know who brought the cheating over, okay? You do know that Carlos Beltran walked in the locker room and says, you guys are doing it wrong. You guys don't know what – you guys aren't cheating good enough. He came from the Yankees organization and did that. Okay, you do know that. You were the ones that were sanctioned or that got a slap on the wrist for the watch thing that you were doing with the Red Sox. Okay, so stop already with the holier-than-thou crap that you're spewing about, we got cheated. Okay, you scored 3 runs in 4 games at Minute Maid. Okay, 3 runs in 4 games. How are you going to win a series when you score 3 runs in 4 games? Where we cheat? Where our pitchers cheating too? I mean, Brian Cashman, stop. All of this, stop. You're a bunch of whiny little BIAs, okay? Stop. I'm so sick of this. I can't even tell you. Oh, the Dodgers and the Yankees hate the Astros. Ooh, pusses.
But it's never going to change. All right. I mean, you're just going to sit there and you're going to give yourself a literal heart attack because you get so mad at the Yankees and Dodgers. They lost. Well, we won. Too bad. When one of those teams, unfortunately, evil will prevail. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes evil wins, kids. Sometimes money and evil are just going to overcome everything. And this is one of those tough lessons that kids are going to have to learn that, unfortunately, either Davey Roberts or Boone, they're going to win a title. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for America. It's unfortunate for the children. It's unfortunate for society. But sometimes evil does win. Good, ultimately, we hope, will prevail. But evil... This is a long war we're fighting for good to beat evil. It's a battle. It's not the war. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean,
oh, we got some breaking news, Del. Breaking news. FSU quarterback DJ Uiagalelei will sit out the rest of. We'll sit out the rest of the season to focus on getting his CDL, his commercial driver's license.
That's not true.
That's not
27. 24/7 Sports put that out.
Well, they put the Quinn Ewers thing out too, and had to pull that back too.
Well, on his CD,
someone photoshopped that.
Oh my god!
What are you doing, John?
That should be used on everything now.
Let's combine breaks here, Tillman.
Well, we actually do have some breaking news. The Texans have signed former Eagles and Bucks linebacker Devin White.
Ooh! Wow. I wonder what that means for Al-Shaair long-term injury.
Well, I don't
know. Christian Harris. What about his?
Or,
well,
you mean,
I mean, hey, where is Christian Harris?
Oh, here. Let me here. You ask that question. I'll be D'Amico.
Okay.
So, D'Amico, you just signed veteran and former Super Bowl champion Devin White. What does that mean for your linebacker outlook, particularly Christian Harris?
For our linebacker outlook, particularly Christian Harris, you ask this question every week.
No, I just did it. I'll you just signed Devin White.
You ask me every week. No. We'll let you know.
Oh, okay.
That's
all right.
We got a break.
You're going to combine breaks here, Dell, because we got Tillman Fertitta joining us at 9:45 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, we got Coors Light to talk about. That's right, Coors Light. Cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Love me some Coors Lights. You will love your. Hey, the weekend is coming up. It's Wednesday, right? tomorrow we got football. Friday we got football. We got basketball tonight. We're going to drink some Coors Lights. We're going to watch our games. We're going to have a big time. We're going to really enjoy ourselves. We're going to keep chill. We're going to keep it chill because we got cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing Coors Light. I love my Coors Lights. You will love your Coors. I played poker. I had a few Coors Lights, okay, the day before or this weekend. Played some golf. Had a few Coors Lights. It's what we do. It's what we do. You are going to – if you haven't tried it, you need to. If you have, I think you've got to love it. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It is the world's most refreshing beer. Climb on, brother.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Houston Rockets, Charlotte tonight. Houston and Charlotte tonight. Right at Toyota Center. Lance is going to the game with Chris Fisher from HRP. So there, he's going to be at
should
the
be
game.
Packed. I'm excited about it, the whole place being packed. That's going to be really cool.
No, the excitement for this basketball team, I think, is real in this city. I mean, now, it is a tough, tough – man, the Lakers looked good last night. That's scary because I thought they would be a good chance for one team to fall off because fall out of the play-in. But the Lakers look like they're rejuvenated. They got Dalton Connect now and, you know, Austin Reeves and AD looked really, really good last night, and LeBron – they're going to be tough, man. It doesn't get this is as good as the West and deep as the West has been in a long time. So it's not going to be easy. But the Rockets can make that kind of Sacramento jump this year. They can hopefully Sacramento falls off and the Rockets can fall.
Well, Minnesota, like I'm interested to see what happens to Minnesota getting rid of Karl Anthony Towns. We'll see. I mean, and that could end up having a big impact on them. I do think Anthony Edwards is one of the most spectacular players in the league, but you know, we'll see what that means for them. It's also one game. Hey, people try to tell you LeBron understood. Bronny is going to really add a different level of chemistry to that team. He played 3 minutes and yet they look like a championship level team. Bronny made the difference yesterday, John. You doubted and yet here we are.
one rebound.
Here we are.
Well, listen. And listen, they get rid of Karl Anthony Towns, and they give Rudy Gobert all that money yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the play, but obviously there's something else at play there
we'll
to
see.
Get rid of Karl Anthony Towns. But Houston Rockets have – you know, I am really excited to see Reed Sheppard. Really, really excited to see Reed Sheppard because this is the first time the Texans have had a sniper at three. It's the first time. And so I'm really excited to see that level of shooter on the Rockets squad. That's going to be something that could set this offense up into a position to be a more explosive offense. You know, it's one thing they can get downhill on you as a transition team, and they can get downhill on you as an offensive rebounding team that can get putbacks. And you know, you have Tari Eason and Amen Thompson that play that brand of basketball. Jalen Green has become a much better rebounder, but man, you stick a sniper out there at three. Oh, my gosh. All it takes is one hot quarter, and all of a sudden, the Rockets, with their defense, can put teams away.
Yeah. Dell, call again from Culligan. I told him that we'd be calling from a 713 number. So we'll see.
He wasn't answering Dell's call, was he?
Well, it went right to voicemail, and hopefully he'll be able to he'll
pick. You think
it
up, he knew it was Dell? Because I would not.
He might have known it was Dell. I mean, yeah. If you were calling him, Lance, if you were on the board, I think he probably would have answered.
Yeah, he would have answered if I was running the board like when I run the board.
Yeah, like when you run the board. I mean, it's different. Yeah. But we'll see.
I run the board. I'm pretty.
Well, come in here and make the call. Well, because I got right to voicemail, but it looks like we got a call back, so maybe it's
okay, up. Here's the call back. I gave him the number, so maybe he's calling back.
Here we go.
Anyway, Tillman Fertitta, owner of your Houston Rockets, in action tonight against Charlotte. And that's a good way to start the season, I hope. I hope it is. I hope that this team, it all comes together tonight. And man, you got to talk about a bunch of pieces. I think Ime Udoka's got as tough a job trying to decide what his rotation is all season long because of all the talent that he's got this year. And joining us now is the owner of your Houston Rockets, Tillman Fertitta, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tillman, welcome in. We are really, really excited. I don't know if do you guys feel it. I don't know how much you. I, obviously, a lot of people are talking to you about the Rockets, but are you feeling the kind of love this for this season that we kind of feel we're getting from the fan base as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a function last night with a lot of our season ticket holders and Oak Room members, and there's just a tremendous amount of excitement. And I just got on the line and was listening to what you were saying, and you know, the excitement is you have all these young guys, and you just one of them will step up to be an all-star, and that's the difference. But what's most exciting is that when we can take some injuries is – that this year, when you look at your 14th and your 13th and your 12th and your 11th player, you know, that's like Aaron Holiday and Jeff Green and Jayshon Tate. And these guys would be in rotations in most teams. But that's all real positive, but we need a couple of guys to step up and start on that all-star track. Because if you look at all the teams that are really, really good, they all have two all-stars. Mm-hmm. But we're young. We're young. They'll become all-stars. It's just, are they there yet?
Tillman Fertitta with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we loved the deals for Jalen and Alpi. They weren't the other guys or four or five other guys in that draft class that got the max, the 224. You got $185 million, $106 million, a three-year deal with Jalen and a five-year with – both of them had player options on the last year of those deals. Talk about those deals, Tillman, and how we think they were team-friendly. Do you?
I wouldn't say that they're team-friendly. They were team-friendly, but they're player-friendly, too. When, you know, when you have a guy like Alpi that's, you know, making, you know, it's a tremendous amount of money, $5 million, because he wasn't a top-10 pick. And now he's guaranteed $185 million over 5 years, and that's pretty player friendly too. I know they're happy. Let me tell you something about these guys, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for them. They know that we have a bunch of young future stars, and they know the way that the cap is in the NBA now that you cannot go into the apron of the tax. And that's why Steve Ballmer could not keep Paul George and send him to Philly this year, because you cannot be there. It's so punitive. And we don't want to have to get rid of a star or two future of this young group. And what we're trying to sell these guys on, if everybody keeps progressing the way they're progressing, this team – is it going to be a championship caliber team in a few years? But if you take the pieces, any one of these pieces out of it, it won't be, most likely. And so everybody wants to stay together. They like being a part of this organization. They like living in Houston. And they all did the right thing. And they understand where we're coming from. They totally understand. And the contracts are structured where if they become that all-star and that superstar, you know, Alpi has a player option that he can opt out a year early to go try to sign a max with us, and the same with Jalen. And so it's kind of just doing it very methodically and with a scaffold to make sure that we can keep this team together as long as we can.
Yeah, and you can see from a timing of other contracts on the you know, that are on the books now, it kind of makes sense from a timing standpoint. You can see it was crafted in such a way where it's layered and timed in the proper way so that you don't get stuck from a cap standpoint and from a maneuverability standpoint, which was something that Daryl was really good with for most of his tenure here. Tillman, I want to ask you, as somebody who lives in Houston, and Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Houston Rockets, joins us right now. As somebody who lives in Houston and a Houston sports fan, you know, I look at – John and I talked about the fact that the Astros kind of put out there a blueprint for how it could be done, going from good organization to really downtime to rebuilding with a young core. And it's hard not to look at the Rockets and see similarities to what the Astros did when they were on their way up. championships are not guaranteed for anyone, but do you look at it the same way? Do you see what the Astros did and follow that and see similarities with how your team is kind of moving along?
Well, let me just say this. When it was explained to me that and I watched it before we had James Harden, we were in NBA purgatory where, you know, you're a seventh, eighth, or ninth. If you get in the playoffs, you're immediately eliminated in the first round. We didn't want to go there again. We could have taken some players back from James Harden and been an eighth seed or not gotten in, but won 38 to 42 games. And that's just not where we want it to be. We either want to be challenging for a championship or setting yourselves up to challenge for a championship or be working toward the other way to be able to get there. And so, yeah, I mean, we've watched it done in the NBA, but knowing how it worked for the Astros. And remember, since I've owned the team, this is the first year that the Astros aren't in the American League Championship Series. And everybody's got to understand that all you could do is set yourself up to be one of the top two or three teams in your conference and then hope for some luck. And watching the Astros, as good and as dominating as they have been and still are, in the 7 years, they only got two championships. And it's not only because it's so hard to win one. And so you need some luck as well as trying to do everything right. It's hard to win championships. And so all we're trying to do is the right thing, and what they've done over there has worked out tremendously, and it's surely a good model for anybody.
Tillman Fertitta with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I saw you before the season last year, and you guys were realistic about what was going on. You know, I think we talked about maybe 39 wins. You ended up with 41 wins, and there were a lot of a couple of losses in there that you maybe, you know, could have been 43, could have been 44 wins. This year, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough, tough West, Tillman, but it seems like the sky's the limit for this team now, and that's even realistically, it's the sky's the limit.
Well, I don't know that the sky's the limit, but I think that we're very good. You're going to see us offensively rebound unbelievably. Tari and Amin statistically are two of the best offensive rebounders in the league the last 2 years, and then the fact that you brought Steven Adams in. And he's the best offensive rebounder over the last 5 to 7 years. So we're going to run. We're going to get offensive rebounds. We made very few changes on this team, but the two changes that really are going to help are we get Tari back for the full year. He only played like 10 games last year. Amin didn't even play the whole first half of the season. He was hurt. And then you didn't have Steven Adams, and he didn't play at all last year. So having Tari, Amin, and Steven Adams are going to be huge. Plus, once again, when you have young guys, you want Alpi to take the next step. You want Jalen to play like he did the second half of the year. And you want Jabari to take that next step. And you want Cam to take that next step. And that's how you continue to get good. You've got these young guys have got to keep taking the next step. If they don't take the next step, then we won't be much better than last year. But as long as they keep taking the next step, then anything can happen.
A lot of people excited about Reed, too.
Yeah, I mean, let's not even, you know, talk about him. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. He has days in practice where he leaves everybody with their head spinning. And, you know, he's a rookie. And if you remember all these guys as rookies, you're going to see him make mistakes. And you know, it takes these guys to catch up with the speed of the NBA game. But you're going to see Reed have some huge games this year. One thing he can do is he can shoot, he can pass, and watch how quick his hands are. You'll see him create a lot of turnovers. He's a lot like Amin and Tari, where you see deflections, where he might not even necessarily get the steal, but he's the guy that deflected it where somebody else gets it. He's going to be a great player and become that shooter that we want him to be.
Mm-hmm. Tillman Fertitta with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I know you're really excited about the new facility. Why is it a difference maker? What you put a lot of money into that thing, and it was well designed, and it's going to. What is the difference maker with that thing?
Well, it's a place where the players want to train, and before they used to have to use the facility at the Toyota Center, where there's a second court that most fans don't even realize. It's kind of below the ground that you go and you work in, and it's hard to get in and out. And you know, I have flew in, and last I guess it was last Friday night, I was somewhere, and the heliport for us is right there next to the training center, and Tori Eason was in there, had been shooting baskets from like 9:30 to 11:30 at night. Okay, they wouldn't have done that at the Toyota Center, and the guys are probably spending three times as much time in the training center than they did before. And it's because there's places to relax, and then they go practice some more, and they just love it. It's kind of like a big home for them. And you know, any edge that you can get, just like doing the 767 a few years ago for them, we want any edge that we can get for our team.
Tillman Fertitta, we'll let you go. We know you're busy. We really appreciate your time here. Has it affected? Have we seen the ticket sales? Do we see the fan base excited, and especially with their wallets right now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, ticket sales are already up like 12% to 14% this year, and the fans are getting really back into NBA basketball in Houston. But I have to, you know, give our fans a lot of credit that, you know, even those previous years, you never walked into the Toyota Center and didn't see it, you know, near capacity. We always have had a good crowd, even the last few years, and you never saw rows and rows of empty seats. And I appreciate the Houston fans, and it truly is. We're here to play for the fans, and we want everybody to come out and support them. There's nothing like a loud a fan base when you're in somebody's home arena. I know we get it from certain teams, and we want our fan base to be, we want the Toyota Center full, and we want our fans to be as loud as they can be. So thank you, everybody out there. We appreciate you.
I know this. We're as excited as we've been in a long time for this basketball team, and looking forward to the start tonight. Thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for hanging this morning, and best of luck this basketball season.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
Yeah. Tillman Fertitta, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 as we get started with the 2024-2025 NBA season. I'm excited, man. This is going to be fun. I'm going to watch that game. You're going to be there, Lance. That'll be, I think, hopefully it'll be a sellout. And it's a Charlotte game. It's not normally a sellout. It's a Wednesday night. That's, you know, difficult for a lot of people. But opening night should be a lot of fun. Should it be a packed crowd there tonight? And you guys got good seats. Chris said you guys got pretty good seats.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I don't care if the seats are good or bad, John. I'm a man of the people, so just being in the building is good enough for me.
You're so full of it. Yeah, you were in the press box at the Texas game eating. Yeah. How was the food in the press box?
Not great.
It wasn't?
No, yeah. It wasn't. They had some tacos from some places. They just threw them on there. By the time I got there, it took a little while. I had to go down on the field and for a while, but no, the press box is not the best seat at Texas, Georgia. That's
yeah,
not
it
a
is.
Great. No,
no, because you're isolated from people. You don't have to touch.
No,
icky,
I'm the third row.
People.
I can't even see. I'm watching it on TV.
You have to.
Hey,
you don't
Diamond
have to
Club.
Rub elbows.
Enough, Diamond Club. You can't tell people. You can't say that screaming at people from your Diamond Clubs.
No,
and your floor seats.
Right up against. I'm next to people. Right.
Yeah,
right
people
there.
With jets.
So what? I mean, those are people, too.
They don't count. Jet people who have their own jets don't count as man of the people people.
Yes, they are. You don't see. They're people, too. Okay, rich people are people, too. Okay, so stop already. Rich lives matter. Okay?
You'll be one of the first ones eating cake.
John thinks. See, the problem for John thinks they'd let him in when the purge happens. They're going to keep you outside.
John's out during the purge.
Oh, I'm out. Not, I'm realistic about it.
Your friends aren't going to let you into their.
Oh, no, I'm the last. I'm the last in. Trust me. I know that.
They're like, hey, funny man, make us laugh. But when bleep pops off, they're going to leave you out with the rest of us.
Oh, yeah. No. Absolutely. I'll be out there. No, absolutely. I'll be pounding on the window, though. At least I'll be up against
the... Let me into your panic room.
All right. We are done. The MAPE show is next. We're featuring Dell right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That was news of the weird. It was weird getting Tomer Fertitta on any show in this city. So that wasn't easy. So that was why it was weird. That took the place in News of the Weird, because he doesn't do many shows, and especially in the morning. So we got a little lucky there. GimmeTheVin.com is what we're talking about now. That's another rich guy, Sean Clay Wolf. You know why he's rich? It's because he gouges you. It's because he pays you more. How about that? How ironic is that? John Clay Wolf has a lot of money because he pays you the most for your vehicle. That is irony. That's dripping with irony. The reason for it is because he sells them at auction, but he makes less money than the other guys do. But you know what he does? Volume. So he does about $2 billion a year in business. That's crazy, crazy business. Okay? But why is because you go to GiveMeTheVin.com and you're going to sell him your car. You're going to sell it to him because he is going to pay you more, and that's as simple as it gets. And then when he goes down to when he goes to sell it at auction, he just makes less. That's all. And sometimes he loses, and that's fine too. He says that's fine too. He's lost before. I mean, even good businessmen, they lose in deals. And you know what? That's okay with him. But he's going to give you more. So you always, 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 if you're going to sell your car, there's one place you have to go. GiveMeTheVin.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.